Blog Talk Radio.
Once again to another episode, an exciting episode of Dubwise Talk. I am Judah Arai, your host, and I am so elated and so honored this evening to have the honor to present Miss Yvonne Pierre. She is a consummate writer, a producer, and an advocate for a very special cause. And we really are anxious to talk with her, but prior to that, we're going to listen to this announcement. They paid a bill, so here we go.
Greetings, Aquaba. Unan Imports. Unan Imports. Canine Imports. They are located at 6971 North Sheridan Road, Chicago, Illinois, 60626. This two-room garden level shop specializes in arts and crafts, body care products, and clothing, mostly from Kenya and West and Central Africa. They also specialize in authentic hand-carved wood masks that have the spirit infused in them, alongside the bags made of kente cloth and knit Rastafarian tapestry carved wood jewelry. The body products include several kinds of pure unrefined shea butter, as well as black soap made from the ashes of leaves, bark, and cocoa pods, mixed with shea butter or palm oil, then cured, which is noted for its deep cleansing properties. Aside from that, Unan Imports exudes an ambiance that is one to remember. Do yourself a favor. Take some time and go over to Unan Imports, located at 6971 North Sheridan Avenue, Chicago, Illinois, 60626, and see who I call Doc, Brother Al Unan. You'll be glad you did.
Yes, and we are black. We are black with the great and honorable Yvonne Pierre. How are you, beloved?
I am good. I'm so honored and grateful for being on your show.
Well, it is mutual, because when I read your background, I was so exalted in my spirit to have another very elevating minded person on my show to spread positive vibrations. So let's dig right into you. I see that you are a writer, you are a producer, and an advocate. We will talk about the writing in first, but before you began writing, you had to have heard some literature in your youth that resonated, or was it not in your youth?
Wasn't in my youth. My journey towards being a writer is a little different than what you hear typically from writers. Like, they've been knowing their whole life that they wanted to write, and certain pieces struck them or inspired them to be a writer. But my journey towards being a writer started from my struggle with reading and my challenge with reading and writing, evolved into wanting to overcome this complex I had about writing. And then a lot of things that I went through in my life, eventually I wanted to tell my story.
I see. And glad we are that you did. So can you illustrate some of, or expound on some of the struggles without having to get very personal?
Some of the struggles as far as writing or life period?
Yes, as far as the struggles that perpetuated your desire to tell your story.
To tell my story. Well, growing up, most of my childhood I was sexually abused. My father was murdered when I was very, very young. Throughout being a teen and in my early 20s, I was raped.
Wow. I'm so sorry. Well, they say that the challenges and the obstacles that beset the artist really makes the artist even more valuable. So definitely you have credentials. My goodness. So what was the piece of literature that resonated in you that made you want to write?
I would say there are a lot of pieces that have resonated with me, whether it's books, film, stage plays. I'm inspired by things that are not normal per se.
things
that are more spiritually based, or things that push you to think outside of the box. So it's kind of hard to narrow down one particular piece that drove me. But I would say, as far as wanting, what inspired me to be a writer was, you know, seeing people like Oprah and people who had been through the same challenges that I have, and seeing how they overcame. And I got driven by real people's stories. Real stories is what inspired me and what empowered me and uplifted me to see the things that they have overcome, and they didn't stop. So it's like, okay, well, if they can do it, you know, and if they can overcome this, then I can too. So I wanted to do that for other people, even though there's a lot of people who have been through more than I have, or been through less, or whatever the case is, but there's somebody that needs more people to come out and tell their stories on how they survived. And not just that, I just, after that, I wanted to be get more into fiction. I'm inspired by storytelling.
We just had a magnificent storyteller from England on 2 days ago, and she shared some jewels, and I love storytellers, but go on, go on. Well, let me ask you this, since you love storytelling, do you plan to embark on that artery as well in the art world?
You mean live, just verbally telling stories?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
No. I am more so telling stories and writing, or there's so many different forms of, to me, storytelling, whether it's a play, a film, or a even in documentaries, even real stories is storytelling. So I'm open to all forms of storytelling.
I see. I see. So tell us, what was your educational background for your writing? How did you get yourself trained?
Wow. well, it took a lot of failure. Before, and I'm going to real briefly kind of tell the listeners a little bit about my background, as far as I touched on being molested and going through some childhood traumas. Another challenge I went through was as far as education. I was, you know, the things I went through led me to a self-destructive path. I chose a self-destructive path. And so I struggled a lot with reading and writing and throughout school, and I was constantly failing, and I eventually got kicked out of public school and sent to an alternative school. And at that alternative school, a lot of wake-up calls, a lot of different things happened, and I was born and raised in Gary, Indiana, by the way. But a
Davis,
lot of different... Yes. A lot of different wake-up calls happened that awakened me to pay more attention and to desire more and to want more. But during that process, I had to overcome my complex and my struggle with I'm not good enough. I'm not because I struggled with reading, I was embarrassed, I was ashamed. And so in college, I went off to college. I have two associates, one in accounting and one in business management. But even my journey to college was challenging because I failed. I couldn't even get in because I failed the entry exam. But I was like, okay, that's it. You know, that was like the final wake-up call for me. I got tired of failing, and I said, okay, I have to put my all into this, and everything that's not serving me, everything that's holding me back, or I'm allowing to block me, I need to refocus and put my values and my and life into a different perspective. And so I, you know, studied a lot, and I went back, and I barely passed the test, but I passed to get in. And after a lot of studying and you know, reading, one of the late administrators, I went in her office and just sat down and started crying. And she was like, "What's wrong?" I said, "I can't read."
Oh my God.
I said, I can't read. So she was like, "Well, everything you get your hand on," because we had to pass a spelling test. And I just broke down. And to graduate, so I changed my major. So I changed my major because I was like, okay, I'm not going to pass that. But she put my, she told me to, everything you put your hands on, just read it, read it, read it, read it. And I developed this love for it. It was more like, I guess my challenge became my passion. I became very passionate about overcoming this, and I didn't like how it was defeating me.
Yes, ma'am.
So today I have a master's, I have a bachelor's in marketing, and I have a MBA, and right now I'm in school for creative writing to get my second master's in writing.
Well, let's give you applause for your magnificent energy and effort to surmount what was holding you back. That is a very inspiring story. And I hope that many, many, many more people will listen besides today. But this will be archived, so it will be available. But that is a very powerful testimony about how you can achieve what you will, you know.
Yeah.
That is amazing. So now you get out of college, and then what? When did that lead you to?
I published my first book. In 2010. I finished with my first master's in 2010. I published my first book in 2010. And then in 2012, thank you.
You were on
God
fire.
Is on fire. That was that. Oh my God. I couldn't have done it without
yes.
God.
Indeed.
And after that, in 2012, I wrote a stage play called Then You Stand, which is part of my advocacy for Down syndrome. And then I also, that same year, I wrote a movie called, a short film called Never Alone, through a project called, through Studio 11 Films here in Atlanta. And then I've written and did adaptations for different stage plays and over the past few years, and more to come.
Well, let me read a couple of lines from your bio background. In November 2004, she launched HYH Online. In 2007, Yvonne launched an online radio show, self-entitled The Yvonne Pierre Show, an on-demand talk radio show dedicated to informing and inspiring listeners on topics ranging from self-improvement to parenting a special needs child. In 2011, Yvonne launched an HYH Rise Awards to celebrate and give recognition to those who are making a difference in the Down syndrome community. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about what you can talk about, and the inspiration or the ignition that made you write about that as well.
First, thank you for letting me use your platform to spread awareness for Down syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
My son, I have a 13-year-old son, well, two sons, 22 and 13. But my youngest son, Zion, has Down syndrome. And when he turned 13, I mean, when he turned three, I'm sorry, when he
mm-hmm.
turned three and he got ready to transition into public school, I started, back then Yahoo Groups was popular. So I went on Yahoo Groups and was reaching out to other parents and trying to see what their experiences was as far as public school. And I was devastated. I was blown away because up until that point, I stayed in my own little world. So I didn't really know what was going on in the special needs community. And I was just blown away by a lot of the things I was reading, what a lot of parents were saying about their own children and the lack of hope and all that. And I was like, it's got to be some good news out there. And from my own experiences when we when me and my husband received the news that Zion had Down syndrome, it was very negative. You know, and a lot of people's, you know, a lot of people's reaction was so negative. And I'm like, but he's a child. He's a child. You know, if God is of all things and all things are of God, then why would he be any less? So I started researching online, and I was like, there's got to be some good stories out there. So I started looking for good news, you know, stories about what people are accomplishing with Down syndrome. And I stumbled across.
I was going to say, I think Oprah Winfrey had some positive shows about Down syndrome from way back in the 90s, if I remember correctly. I didn't pay very much attention to her show, but I do think I recall her having some of those. And you mentioned Oprah Winfrey also earlier, so I thought perhaps that would
tie
in.
Yeah, I know she's had Sajid on there. Mm-hmm. And she's also had, I can't think of his name, the young man that was on, it was a hit TV show, and he was the main character. It just totally slipped my mind right now. But she's had a couple of people that on her show that has had Down syndrome. And I know when she had Sajid on there, she focused on him getting married. So my thing, a lot of people, and that's rare because a lot of people, that's what inspired me to do my radio show, because a lot of it was a taboo subject, and I wanted to and have you heard. I wanted to get their stories out there. During that time, I wasn't strong. I didn't feel I was strong enough as a writer, so I was just copying and pasting. But I was getting. I wanted to share their stories and say, hey, look at Sajid. Hey, look at who plays seven different instruments. Look at Karen Jeffries, who is at. She swam the English Channel, and she just did the TED Talk recently. And it was just so many stories out there, and then people was like, oh, well, that's not common. And I was like, the more I met parents and the more I got involved, I realized how common it really was that of what our children were capable of doing. And I wanted to inspire parents, because I believe that if a parent doesn't have hope for their child, whether their child has special needs or not, if a parent doesn't have hope for their child or hope, period, they're not going to get the help they need. They're not going to push them. They're not going to get them in different programs and all that. And if you do that to any child, you block them from evolving.
Exactly, exactly. There's no development. I think that 90%, even more than that, of children problems come from the parents.
I really
firmly believe that this society will have us believe that children are born weird. No, you got weird parents, you know, so that's what you did, you know. But, you know, that's interesting. But tell us exactly what is Down syndrome, exactly what it is, because many of us don't know.
Down syndrome is an additional chromosome. We all have 23, you know, chromosomes contributed from each parent. You know, we learned that in biology in school. Well, I didn't, but most people did. But, you know, altogether is 46 chromosomes, but kids with Down syndrome have an additional chromosome, and it depends on the form of Down syndrome. They have, like, you have trisomy 21, and you have mosaic, and you have translocation, and the difference is they all have the same similar challenges, and I don't want to, I guess, translocation and mosaic is the milder forms of Down syndrome, but even with trisomy 21, which is what my son has, you know, some of the challenges that they go through is as far as fine motor skills, low muscle tone, and Downs have nothing to do with the word Down has nothing to do with their disability. It's just the last name of the doctor.
Okay.
Dr. Landon
okay.
Down. but one of the things, you know, that I really push for people to understand is that, you know, we all have challenges.
Yes, ma'am.
We all have things that we're strong in. We all have areas that we're not as strong in. Yes. And the more our children are accepted into society, and I think society as a whole, if you're different or if, you know, and that's and to also what I want to say real quick is that led me to work on a documentary I'm getting ready to work on called Excluded. Dealing with where the whole stigma came from and also showing people what our children are capable of. And, of course, just like with any child, every child is different. You know,
yes,
every
ma'am.
Child's challenges are different. You know, my son doesn't, you know, there's a lot of kids with Down syndrome that have heart conditions. And Dr. Stephanie, I keep calling her Dr. Stephanie. but there's a doctor here in Atlanta, a research for that works for Emory. And I had her on my show, and I'm trying to think of her last name while I'm talking. but she came on the show, and her explanation of Down syndrome is that, you know, what they learned was, you know, in that chromosome, there's 200 feeds if you think about a computer. If you think about, you know, in a chip, there's certain things that communicate with the computer to make it work.
Correct.
And, you know, in that extra chromosome is 200 extra feeds.
Mm-hmm.
Just like if you put too much oil in a car or if you put
mm-hmm.
too much, you know, it's in some areas, they're exceptional, you know,
mm-hmm.
they excel, they, you know, they're, science showed me miracles every day through some of the things that he do and that he catch on, and he's a sponge, and then he won't show it right then, but later on he'll say, you know, remind me of something. I'm like, oh, I didn't even know you was paying attention to that. You know, so it's like he pay attention to detail on certain things. And so the extra feeds that they get, just like if you put too much information in a computer, there's some things that make the computer work extremely well. And then there's other areas where it like as far as the heart and the way and health and their muscles, muscle tones and different stuff like that is affected.
Yes, yes. Wow. Well, we definitely are in need of more education for these children with the special needs. And again, we applaud your efforts instead of doing status quo and putting them in the corner. Instead, you lifted your son and found other lifters, which is so important. You know, to me, it seems like our society is perpetually focus on negativity and
yes.
completely excludes positive in any arena. But positivity is going to last no matter what. So that's all I can say.
Yeah.
So now we want to talk about you doing the short film. What was the name of that film again?
Never Alone.
Never Alone. And when did you do that?
Well, first, let me say her name is Dr. Stephanie Sherman at Emory University in the Down Syndrome Department. Okay, I had to Google that.
Wait a minute. Let me say this also while we're off course. I bet you would have been a lot of fun in school. All right, let's go on.
I was. Even sober, I was a lot of
yes,
fun.
Yes, yes.
things that Never Alone was a project that I worked on through the 11-11-11 project, and that was in 2012. It was 11 writers, 11 producers, 11 directors. And I came in as a writer, and our challenge was to write, and they grouped us together, writer, director, producer. And we had a short period of time to write these short films, and they were put into production, and the directors got to do their part, and the producers did their part, and so at the end, we had 11 films, and each of the films premiered at the, and we didn't know anything about it being a, it wasn't a competition or anything like that. And they all turned out, in my opinion, they all turned out really good. They all premiered at the Bronzelands Film Festival here in Atlanta, and they aired, and then during that, the Bronzelands Fans Festival, the audience had to vote, and they voted on their top three, and Never Alone came in first place, and it won an award at the Georgia Entertainment Gala in January of 2013. And we got to work with, I have to throw in there, we worked with some amazing people. The instructors were awesome. Rhonda Baraka, Diane, who works with Rainforest, and a lot of people that worked in the industry, and Sharon Tomlinson, who is the CEO, her and Mel Jackson. Mel Jackson was in Soul Food. And we got to work with a lot of great people who are already in the industry. And one of the things that I walk away with from working, my mentor, we all got connected with mentors. My mentor, our mentor for our group was Tatiana Ali. One of the things that I walked away from that experience was that anything is possible. We shot the film in one day, it was one day, and on a very low budget. So, it inspired me, and so, yeah.
So you learned the tricks of the trade as well in the film industry. I want to read this. It says, Yvonne Pierre has worked on various film projects. Just recently, she worked as a casting assistant with Christopher Gray, casting on a Lionsgate film called What to Expect When You're Expecting, featuring Jennifer Lopez, Cameron Diaz, Chris Rock, and a list of other notable actors. Talk about that experience, beloved.
Oh, wow. Christopher Gray is, we wound up getting really cool, really close. I love his, no matter who you work with, you pick up something from them. And one of the things I picked up from working with Chris was he has a get it done attitude. No excuses. Mm-hmm. Make it happen. Let's get it done. And that's one of the things that I take away from with him. And he's so positive, and for him to be a man in Hollywood, a black man in Hollywood, and he's worked on predominantly most of the Hollywood films, doing their extras casting, it was inspirational. You know, just hanging out with him and us sitting and talking, and, you know, I was asking him questions and just working with him, period, and we became friends. But I just admire him so much because I loved his tenacity and his ability to, you know, get up early. His work ethic is one of the things that I really, really admire. There were times I was like, can I please go home? But
yes.
Nope, not until it's done. But I really did enjoy, I would say, every experience, whether it's good or bad, I'm grateful for.
Yvonne, we have a caller from the 404 area code. Caller, are you there? Area code 404? Fine. Okay, I guess they just want to listen. Yvonne, so after what were some of the duties that you personally had to do as an assistant casting director? I know that's what I wanted to know.
As an assistant, I was making a lot of phone calls.
Now, were you calling the actors, such as Jennifer
yes.
Lopez or their publicists? Or
no. No. Just the extras and the featured extras, like
ones that have part.
Yeah, the ones that have major, like, say, Chris Rock's wife is a featured, and the movie was a featured extra, you know, it's a major role, but she's not speaking.
Yes, yes, yes.
So positions like that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That would be interesting to me because I'm always fascinated by meeting new people.
Yeah.
I worked on it's exhilarating to me. It's more precious than anything outside of life itself is connecting, you know?
Yeah. So you're a people watcher.
Oh, I love people. I love people.
what is
your sign?
Yeah, Gemini.
What is your birthday?
June 20th.
So you're a Cancer?
No, I'm a Gemini.
That's why you're so pretty. I always say that Geminis are the prettiest people in the world. No matter what country you go to, no matter what gender, the Gemini is the pretty sign. You
really?
Know, my mother's a Gemini, you know, and I didn't realize that she was pretty. Until when we got to school and it was report card day and other kids' mothers came up there and I said, oh, my God. I'm glad this one is not mine. You know. And then I began
You're
to discover
funny.
How how actually pretty Geminis are. Ladies and gentlemen, we are having a splendid conversation with the Honorable Yvonne Pierre, and we are brought to you by Lalibela's Ethiopian Restaurant. They are located at 5633 North Ashland Avenue in Chicago. And in my opinion, they have the most delectable dishes of all. And the host and his wife, Samson and Heru, are outstanding hosts, as well as the decorum there. You'll love it. Do yourself a favor, go over to Lalibela's at 5633 North Ashland Avenue. And we are brought to you by Popcorn Haven. They are located on the southwest side, conveniently at 111th and Cicero, with ample parking. And they have 500 flavors for your taste and your taste buds. So go over to Popcorn Haven and patronize my son. He has 3 stores now, so congratulations.
Oh, wow.
Yvonne,
congratulations.
Yes, I give thanks. I give thanks for all my children, all my seeds, all my cubs. Yvonne, time is passing, but can you give us your contact information, how one can reach you for any engagements?
Yes. Well, of course, I'm on all of social, well, not all, but Facebook and Twitter, and I can be reached on there, or on my website is ypierre.com, and it's the same handle on Twitter, but on Facebook is ypierre01.
We are definitely honored to have you, and in closing, I'd just like to let the audience know that Yvonne Pierre holds degrees in accounting and business management, a bachelor's degree in marketing, and an executive MBA, and various workshops in film production. Yvonne N. Pierre is a writer, director, producer, and advocate, and has been featured in various blogs, magazines, and a guest on over 20 radio shows. Now we're going to have to say over 21 radio shows, because you have been so delightful on our show, Dubwise Talk. We are honored, and we look to have you back again in the future.
Yes, I would love that. And thank you so much for having me. I enjoyed it.
Give thanks. Anytime I'm in Atlanta, I will definitely look you up. You look like you have a lot of fun. A lot of fun.
I really can look at your...
But, you know, it's good to have fun. It's good to be who you are, you know.
Yeah.
But,
I'll have a lot.
Yes, indeed, beloved. But we'll talk again, I'm sure. Peace and blessings to you. And have a great weekend, beloved.
You do the same.
Well, that's all we have.